This call is being recorded.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Mark Dunzo with Kimley Horn.
I just saw you. Yes, you already left town?
I did. If I would have known, I would have just planned on staying up another day.
We'll be with you in a moment, Mark. We're getting ready to get started.
All righty.
Ms. Danielle, if you would please call the roll. Thank you so much. Agenda item number 5, minutes from previous meetings of April 29, 2016, and June 9th of 2016. They've been distributed. We entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Your second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Further discussion on the minutes? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. They are approved. Item number 6, we have our executive director's report. Ms. Child, I think it's the first time I've called you up to it, isn't it?
You said it.
So Chris took over a few hours first, and been very pleased with today and your progress. And your,
I haven't seen anything else just yet.
We give you an opportunity, you just didn't buy it. You took care of everything. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to the director of Title, Mr. Chris Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. I guess we'll start off by mentioning, obviously, all of you all know Michelle, and she was gracious enough to stick around for a few months after I got hired on or started July 1 when we started the fiscal year. But today is her last board meeting, and today is her last day. She turns into a pumpkin at 4:30 today and not a minute before.
Retired
pumpkin. Today was September the 30th. So the first thing I do want to call your all's attention to, if you all haven't seen it, but we have decided to rename the conference room the Michelle Prestera Craig Conference Room in honor of her 30 years of hard work and dedication. So I think we can do it. And as many of you all know here, Cuyahoga, you know, we have two sister agencies. We have Cuyahoga and we have Region 2 Planning Development Council, which is the West Virginia Development District. And so it just so happens that that board meeting came before this one. So back on September the 16th, we had the Region 2 board meeting, so we had kind of the official unveiling. We were going to put it back up today and tell Michelle to act surprised again. But we decided to go ahead and leave it up. We did ban her from the conference room for the whole day while that was being put up. The only time since probably got into the building, and she was not allowed in the conference room. We had a chair against that door, so she could not be opened from the outside. We had a net here at the front desk to keep the lookout from this set of doors. So she was banned from here for a 24-hour period. We do thank you, Michelle, for all of your hard work and dedication. And she's only 5 minutes away and does have a cell phone, so we all know where to reach her. So, I hope I've got to meet everyone here, but if I haven't, I do apologize. Please come find me after the meeting or give me a call. I've got cards out there or cell phone, whatever you need. I look forward to working with y'all and getting to know everyone here. It's been great so far. I really look forward to work with everyone here for hopefully a long time to come. We did have Michelle's retirement lunch yesterday, so I think most of y'all were able to make it, so we do appreciate that. I think it was a really nice event, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was good. Just a couple things that we've got going on here currently with Cuyahoga. We do have the annual audit that's currently going on. We had the auditors in here a couple days this week, and they're coming back Monday and Tuesday of next week. That's an annual routine audit. We do expect the final report to be completed in March of 2017. A couple of exciting things we've got going on. So we do have the Chesapeake Bypass. I know those of Florence County folks for the whole tri-state is really important. So Salim and myself and Ralph and everyone will be going up to the track meeting with District 9 here in 2 weeks to meet with the track meeting and to ask for funds to complete the right-of-way acquisition for the Chesapeake Bypass. So we'll hopefully have some news on that by our next meeting. A couple ongoing projects. We've got the Lawrence County non-motorized study and the transit expansion study. We've already had the proposals. We're in the process of evaluating those proposals, and interviews for those projects will be conducted on October 11th. That's coming up here in just 12 days. Here in Huntington, we have a couple of developments on Howard River Boulevard, which is 16th Street, which is the main entryway as you come into Huntington. Department of Highways are in the process of they're going to be holding a public workshop on that on October the 4th at 4 p.m. at the A.D. Lewis Center to discuss a specific intersection there on Hal Greer. It's the Columbia Avenue, 13th Avenue intersection. It's right there near Capital Huntington Hospital. It's the intersection where we had a pedestrian get hit by a car and died just a couple years ago. So it's a lot going on at that intersection. And so we've had a couple different studies in the Department of Highways. It's been really great to work with, and we're having a workshop on that. In addition to looking at that particular intersection on Howard Greer, the Department of Highways is also in the process of putting out a proposal for a corridor management plan for all of Howard Greer, so an all-encompassing plan for a vision for Howard Greer from the interstate all the way down to Marshall's campus at 3rd Avenue. Believe it or not, that hasn't been done in many years, and there's been a lot of developments here in Huntington, especially in the Howard Greer corridor. So the Department of Highways is working on getting a complete vision and a complete plan for Howard Greer, how to make that even more successful. In Kentucky, Cuyahoga continues to work with KYTC and Thomas and everyone there on the new six-year plan, and also work on their ADA transition plan. And I don't want to take up any more of your time. I want to get this program moved, so that covers everything. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. That's the most important part. Before Dora has a cattle prod, do me. Which we may need, I have something to think about. We do have a budget revision. So in your packet, just after the minutes, you should have, looks like this, paper clips. We got the fiscal year 2017 budget revision summary. So this is a routine thing, but some of the numbers have changed. So we did have to revise our budget. So we just need a simple motion to adopt.
Second.
It's properly moved and seconded to approve the budget revision as submitted. Any further discussion? Not all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed no. It is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. 5. Agenda item number 7, Power Study and Project Update Discussion. We have on the phone Mark Dunzo from Hemlin Horn to discuss the 2016 Cuyahoga Transportation or the project update. Mark, you still with us?
I am.
Okay, can everyone hear Mark? I think everyone here. You're welcome to go ahead with your report, sir.
All right. Do we have the slideshow up? We have about 8 slides just with the topic. And
yes.
If I could just cue.
All
righty. All right. If you could advance to slide 2 that has the title Completed Project. Just want to kind of give you a heads up as to what's been done. This was a multi-assignment task. The decision support system has been complete. The riverfront study has been complete. The Ironton multimodal parking study has been complete. And the non-motorized plan for Boyd and Greenup and the Ashland parking study. We have the Sharp 2 performance management process that is in its final draft. Want to just talk about that briefly. We've got comments back from FHWA that have been revised. And as part of the acceptance of the grant, Cuyahoga committed to presenting the results at several trade conferences, and Salim and the Cuyahoga has been very active in doing so. This was presented at the TRB Tools of the Trade Conference, the West Virginia MPO Conference, and it will be presented at the AMPO Conference as well. So definitely Cuyahoga and we've partnered some, have been keeping up with that commitment. So I think that was a real great opportunity for Cuyahoga to get some real positive press as to doing some really cutting edge and leading edge planning. In terms of what we have nearing completion, the travel demand model is done. So the cake's been put in the oven. It's just about there. You can stick a knife in it and it comes out clean just about. It's finishing that up. And then the airport access road study. And then we have the ongoing studies in terms of the Huntington non-motorized connection study, which I'll talk about while we've changed the title in a moment, as well as the Boyd and Greenup County Transit study. Slide 5, the travel demand model update. Could geek out on this for hours, but just to kind of give you an update, the model is in terms of meeting the calibration standards and the industry standards. We've achieved those. We are now reviewing those with the steering committee overseeing the model work, in particular with Kentucky, Scott Thompson. Once we get those final blessings, the final efforts will be the model documentation so that staff can run the model and have the reference materials there available to them to run it, as well as model training in terms of being able to train staff, and we'll be scheduling that. So again, that'll be happening over the next month or so. And would you prefer questions as we go, or would you prefer questions at the end?
We don't have questions at the end, I think.
Okay. In terms of the access road study, we've submitted a draft document, which is now under review. Our steering committee meeting will be held next week, and then from the feedback that we get from that meeting, in terms of looking at the various alternatives and costs and objectives that are being achieved and funding opportunities, we'll be finalizing the report. So, in terms of the strategic non-motorized connection study, we call it connection study because rather than we got the LIDAR work from the state, and then there was the PATH master plan that was done. So rather than have studies that were overlapping, we've tried to really use this study to focus in on 5 strategic connection corridors that were identified
and then kind of do a deeper dig and a deeper dive. So with the idea being to not waste any money, but rather use this to move those key connections along that would benefit from bicycle and pedestrian recommendations. And so as these findings are illuminated, we'll be presenting them to you in the future months, in the coming months. And then last but not least, I know that when I saw Salim yesterday, he talked about the transit study. Had a chance to, over the last few months, really dig in and understand what the goals are. And we feel like we're in a position now, and we've got the base data collected so that now we can develop an approach, form a steering committee, and really turn this around again. Everything is on schedule at this point, but we know that there's some anxiousness to go ahead and see some results. And so now we feel like we're poised to really dig in and really have a focused approach on the transit study. So that's what we've got. Any questions, comments, concerns?
We had a big lunch, Mark. I think we're just kind of chilling out right now. But we do appreciate your report, and look forward to meeting with you again and get these things all finalized and move forward on our project. So, again, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys, and you guys have a great meeting. And again, please give Michelle our best on her retirement and years of service. And likewise, Chris, look forward to working with you. So you guys have a great meeting, and ping me if I'll be here. Ping me via email if anything comes up.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care now. Bye now.
Here's the update. Mr. Parsons, are you on the telephone?
I am, sir, yes.
Welcome, and you're going to update us on the Huntington Street Flooding Mitigation Plan?
Yes, I am ready to go. And I trust that the slides are on the screen.
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Let's move past the title slide to slide two. Today, I'm going to give you an update on the following items. Our modeling process for the water system and stormwater system. What we've collected so far in terms of impervious surfaces and what that entails. Talking about green infrastructure options for how we're going to look at implementation for some of these improvements. Traffic and bike and pedestrian circulation. We'll talk about the travel demand model, which will actually build upon some of the work that Kimberly Horn has done. And then moving into next steps, talk about alternatives development and recommendations. So with that, let's go to the next slide. This is a number of graphics detailing the modeling that we have done for the stormwater system. And to make a long story short, we are looking at a combination major system, minor system. The major system meaning the roadways and the surface area between the curbs in the study area. And then the minor system is the combined sewer overflow system and the piping that's underneath. And most of these are a 36-inch by 48-inch pipe. And we really wanted to look into this stormwater model to try and determine where all of these flooding issues happen. What are the root causes for those issues? So this model was set up specifically for the CSO area number 12, which basically coincides with Halgrier Boulevard. You can see it in the bottom left corner there in green with all the pipes shown. And really what we looked at when the model ran was it's a combination of issues when we have flooding events. So you get runoff from the surface where water is entering the inlet drains and the storm drains along the street. And then you also get inundation within the pipe system where you have water that builds up and the pipes are not able to handle the loads. So it comes up to the surface, and then a combination of those two results in the standing water that we see that that backs up the viaducts and portions of 3rd and 5th Avenue on occasion. So that really gives the sanitary board some information for this area, but possibly to be able to expand some of those assumptions to other areas of the city and really make some tough financial decisions in terms of what improvements are necessary and what the timelines are going to be. So part of this study is going to be to help develop some implementation options with the timeline and some at least some planning level cost estimates for how those improvements can be done. So the next slide shows some of the work that we've been doing in terms of the geographic information system and collecting some data on impervious surfaces. So the top picture there, you see the light blue area, oval area. That is the area that has been identified along the Fifth Avenue corridor as the area that's most prone to flooding, to surface flooding. And it really, it kind of goes from about 18th Street to about 26th Street. So what we did was, within that area, take a snapshot of the different types of surfaces where water cannot infiltrate back into the ground. And the two main uses there are parking lots, paved parking lots or surface parking lots where water can't get into the ground, and then rooftops. So if you look at the numbers at the bottom, the total land area under that oval is about 230 acres. And when you add in the rooftops and parking lots, they take up just over a quarter of that surface area for that area, that oval. And that's something that we can certainly make improvements upon. And that's where we're going to be starting to look at green infrastructure and some other options for ways to encourage more water to absorb back into the ground and avoid some of this surface ponding that we see on a fairly regular basis. So, next slide. How do we address excess surface flow? This is where we start to look into some green infrastructure options. And the things that we've identified so far to take a look at are permeable pavement and pervious sidewalks, bioretention, a biotree trench, and green alleys. And if you go ahead to the next slide, there's some illustrations there of what those things are. If you look at the top left corner, the top left slide, our image in that slide, that's an example of a green alley. And we really have, when we looked at the overall layout of the streets, you've got great wide streets, lots of flat land where you can do a lot of different innovative things with. One of the things we identified was possibly utilizing some of these alleys between blocks as an area where we can implement some of this green infrastructure, and it really doesn't take away from anything else. It adds value to the property, and it overall improves the citywide system for getting that water off the surface. So looking at some permeable pavers, pervious sidewalks, you can see some of the illustrations there. The top right corner will be an example of permeable pavement. And it's really just, it's a fairly standard pavement, but it's porous so that the water doesn't run off. It actually absorbs back through the pavement into the subsurface. Other things we can look at are bioretention. Those middle slides there show different examples of that, whether it's a planted median with subsurface drains and absorption options, island type of treatments, even a bump out. If you look at the bottom center, you can do some improvements on the street that will allow for increased absorption of water, again, getting it off of the surface and back into the ground. And finally, the use of these biotree trenches, where you can look at making aesthetic improvements to the street, whether it's adding trees or other types of shrubs or plants, and also including another method in another area for getting that water back into the ground. So that's where we are with the green infrastructure. If you look at the next slide, it's titled Circulation, and these are some examples of some of the data we've collected so far that are going to help us determine the best options for future growth and development in terms of transportation, multimodal transportation. So we're talking about vehicles, people, pedestrians, bicycles, ADA accessibility, all of those things together. So that top picture shows population density. All those black dots are, I believe, they're multiples of 10 people, and it kind of gives an idea of where those are in relation to the study area. The study area we've identified are all those light blue areas. So you've got the five viaducts plus the 3rd and 5th Avenue corridors. And then the bottom two images there on that slide, it shows some of the data that we've collected so far, and it relates to street center lines, sidewalks, ADA ramps, alleyways, marked crosswalks, and those types of things. And we're also going to utilize hopefully the LIDAR data that you all have collected through other projects to help verify some of these locations and add any additional information we can. So what do we do with that circulation information? If you go to the next slide, some of the next steps that we're doing. We are refining the Kiowa travel model, which Kinley Horn is developing, and we're working hand in hand with them to get copies of that. So we're going to look at what happens if you say we have a working travel demand model that accurately reflects existing conditions within the city of Huntington. What happens if we put an impedance or we put a block on the Hal Greer Boulevard Viaduct, where the CSX track is? Where does the traffic go based on that block? And that's going to reflect a potential closure due to a flood event. So we'll be able to test what optional routing is there for commuters and people who are using these streets on a regular basis, and then start to come up with some alternatives for travel that will hopefully reduce some of the congestion, confusion, the issues that come up when these flood events happen. After that, we're going to come up with a slate of alternatives, and we're going to test those with a benefit cost analysis that Federal Highways has established. We're going to look at possibly utilizing some underused segments of the study area to help achieve these circulation patterns. We're going to look at future conditions. We know that there are a lot of concurrent studies going on with the brownfields work that's being done at the ACF site, a number of the other projects that the MPO is working on. So we want to look at all these things together in concert to develop a good snapshot of where the future needs to be and what we need to do to get there. And then finally, come up with a slate of options through these green infrastructure improvements and possibly looking at some of the cross sections of the local roads, whether that's like Fifth Avenue, for example, possibly coming up with some ideas on how we might want to recommend changing that for the future to best reflect the travel conditions and what's expected 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And then finally, come up with a set of recommendations that assesses system improvements. We want to be able to rank options to give you a final recommendation that best reflects the expected outcomes and a reasonable financial projection for how to get these things built once they're identified. That being said, that brings me to the end of the presentation, and I would be happy to entertain any questions if anyone has any.
You want to have a question for Mr. Parsons? I don't only have one question. It's probably a dumb question. I want to ask it. Permeable pavement and our freeze-thaw cycle, how does that work together? We have 4 months out of the year that freezes and thaws, and how is that a legitimate strategy?
That's a great question, and it's a valid concern. Excuse me. There are rigorous tests that have been put in place, and there are some areas where certain treatments aren't going to work. But I do know that in talking with the sanitary board, there's a couple locations that are actually private business right now that have got some of these treatments already in place. I believe is it a cookout on Fifth Avenue? I believe there's some of that permeable pavement there, and you'll be able to notice it if you're driving through. It looks a little bit different, but again, we'll certainly take into account freeze-thaw and temperature cycles and everything else when we come up with that list of recommendations.
Okay. Any other questions, please? Mr. Parsons, thank you very much. We look forward to working with you in the future and future updates.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks. Number three on this list, the Lawrence County Projects Update, Dr. Bill Dingus. You going to bring us up today?
Yes, I can, Chairman. Lots of things going on in our region, some right in some of the areas. Of course, the bypass progresses to Ohio, but the course of bypass, the $500 million project on a design build format with the, I think, 35-year maintenance responsibility of the contractor. It's just a unique thing for us, but that's just way ahead of schedule. Well, the Chesapeake bypass, I think Chris mentioned earlier, that that'll be going back up to track on October 13th, requesting for 11.5 million to go ahead and buy the balance of the right of way. They're currently 5 right of way. I think they've spent about 5 million right now, so it's an active project and the state holds it high, but it's like everything else, money's a little tough right now. We're looking at studies for the we call them the Walmart exit and the Kmart exit, which are two red lights on 52, working with Cuyahoga, trying to work with that and the program and ODOT, the commercial, to try to get studies started, hopefully move those all the way into design bid or the design, detailed design plans, so they could start looking at working on those future track projects. Two roundabouts, one at the Sands, call down the Lindy Sams area. That particular one is funded and is cycled for 2019-20. It is in motion. Also, the roundabout at Point Industrial Park, that one's hopefully in the final funding area. The ARC is supposedly helping with that, and we're waiting for a couple of signatures. Non-motorized study, as we mentioned, that is something that's forthcoming to the decision for. Interviews will be in the next couple of weeks. The Ironton Trail moves ahead. Corps of Engineers has to sign off for certain things there for us to move forward, and that's become a much more lengthy obstacle than we had ever dreamed. Second, that signature is applied, then that project will be in full motion of construction. Eastern Lawrence County is doing a similar type of requests. They're wanting to build trails similarly in bicycle and nature paths in the Rome Clarksville area, and a big push is being made to connect to Ohio's bicycle trail system to bring it in 775, bring it down along the top of the hill about 7, and then go back out to 43 with the idea of some way developed and interconnect over the bridges so it can be linked to the Paul Everett Trail. We just feel that as a powerful thing for our community if we can link in Ohio's trail system as people drive the bicycle there. The best thing is they can come into Huntington and spend the night or whatever. So that is all, that's kind of a quick overview.
Well, a lot of good things happen.
Not quick enough, but quick.
A lot of good things happen. We have been busy when there was nothing going on. So that's about me. This is, yeah. Okay, thank you. Any questions for Dr. Davis? Tom Witt, Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
Our legislature did approve a new secure highway plan this spring, and it was signed off on by the governor.
No.
We do have a new secure plan in place. And one issue that we do have, though, is our funding situation. Due to the declining gas prices, our gas tax revenues have come down quite a bit. So we're actually not going to be able to start new state funded construction projects during fiscal year 17, even if they are in the six-year plan, although we will try to mirror the legislative extent as much as possible as our budget allows. And then as far as specific projects go for this area, You'll find in your handout a spreadsheet that was put together by Jim Callahan at the district office. And I'm not going to go through project by project. You can look over that spreadsheet of the project. Just send a note to the engine for the preferred report. That's all I have.
Thank you. Go for some board and Greenup County project update, Terry.
Well, Thomas went ahead and gave the board and Greenup update, and so I appreciate that, Thomas. I missed a little bit part of that, but I think, like, did you mention about the funding sources for the SP versus the federal, like for the 207, where it looks like there's some that are SP, there's state funded, which you mentioned that were not guaranteed funding, but right. The other ones are our federal funds, which are an absolute go project. So the 207 in Greenup County it may slide back a little bit because on the funding sources, and then but the viaduct over in Russell with Iron and Russell Bridge, that is federal funding, so that should be
to make sure that's our number one project.
Just wanted to point that out. I'm sorry if I repeat it.
I didn't hear. For me, you can't repeat it
enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Press the airport button, Jerry Brienza.
Yeah, we heard a little bit from Kyle about we're doing an access road study. As I mentioned before, one of our concerns is that we've got one way in, one way out of the airport that worries us being on a mountaintop. So we're having Julie Horn do an access road study to see if there's any feasible way of creating a secondary access road or something potentially a little bit more secure than what we have. So they're in the process of that, and actually we have working paper out, and we're going to have another advisory meeting next week to look at it. It looks like the most inexpensive option will be about $8 million for any type of secondary access up there. But we're going to talk about the options and review those again. And we're also having them look at around the parking area and the main terminal as to how to possibly create a more dynamic flow there. Because we do experience luxury. So we're looking at that as well in that study. The second thing we have going on is an elevator ADA project. If anybody's flown out of Tri-State Airport, they know that they have to drag their luggage either all the way around on the obsolete ramp that doesn't even meet ADA requirements, or they have the option of dragging their suitcase up the flight of stairs that we have. So we were able to grant working through Kiowa State, and we're going to put in elevators. This is really phase one of our mobile facility, parking garage that we eventually like to build out there. This is one chunk of that that we can check off. So it needs two things. It needs, number one, set an example of what our garage is going to look like, and number two is we're meeting ADA requirements and helping our passengers have a more steady flow
through here.
So those are our two major projects
that we're doing. Your questions, Jerry? Yes. Let anybody introduce
this
to you today, Jerry?
I'd love to.
Okay.
For those of you who I didn't get around to, I'd like to introduce to you Brent Brown. He's the airport's new airport director. He comes to bluffs by way of Ventura County Airport in California. So he's new to the area, so if you guys can welcome him, I would appreciate it.
Welcome, Jeff. Transit systems update, Paul Davis.
Thank you, sir. Well, I have a couple of exciting things that are happening, at least on behalf of TTA, and I may turn to Mike and Marion for Ashland, Kentucky, and Lawrence County. But first of all, for TTA, most of my career and most of Michelle's career, we have tried to find a way to get an access agreement with Marshall University with the transit system, so students can easily get on and off the buses, just showing their ID, and then there would be some type of fee. So this was a total, we tried it a couple of times and didn't really have much success, but through Kyle, Michelle, and a number of other people, we've been working real hard to make sure that, try to make this happen. And I'm glad we made it happen before Michelle retired. That was just that. But anyway, this was a student-led initiative. They voted to tax themselves $16 a semester to have unlimited access to the bus service and some new service that we provided for downtown. They designed the bus, they designed the route, and we were just basically doing the service for them. So as you see, the brochure that we passed out, it's called the Green Machine, and it runs every 20 minutes from downtown to Marshall, Monday through Thursday till 5 p.m. every 20 minutes. After 5 p.m., it runs from downtown and includes campus and goes to Kroger on Fifth Avenue. So now the students that don't have transportation will have the opportunity to go to the grocery store. And then they have unlimited access to the rest of the bus system. So they can go to Walmart, they can go to the mall, they can do those other things and get part-time jobs, so on and so forth. After 5:30, like I mentioned, it goes to Kroger, runs every 30 minutes. Then on Friday and Saturday night, now this is the big kicker, runs till 3 a.m. So if anybody, Marshall students, would happen to stay a little longer on 4th Avenue than maybe they should have, they have safe transportation to back to campus and housing. So this is a wonderful project. One of the key kickers of this project was, and made it PTA sort of more sexy to the students at Marshall, is that we now have an app. We've talked about this at previous Kyoza meetings. It's called Route Shout. You download the app to your phone, and you can see, you can tell it to locate me, and it will see where you are, and it'll show you the closest bus stop and when your next bus will arrive. So it's like you see in the airports, when your plane's going to depart, when you're going to load, all that is now on this app, and they can see it. So no more in the wintertime, standing outside 20 minutes or so in the cold, but they'll tell within a minute or two of when the bus is going to be there, so they go immediately out to the bus. So it's an exciting project, and this is one of the benefits of us becoming a TMA, is that we, using STP funds, was one of the reasons we were able to do this project. So we really appreciate Jennifer wants to remind me, ridership, it's more than that. that's just September. Okay. We were over 6,000 boardings since August the 15th when we started. That is going to be a real game changer for TPA. And if things go on track, that'll put us over a million boardings next year. So we're really, really excited about that. And plus, we're saving the economy. We're saving the environment. We're doing a lot of things when people ride the bus. So anyway, Michelle, we appreciate your all support. It's truly a team effort. We give Marshall a lot of credit for helping us design the bus service, but these guys here called Terry or Bethany up, Slim, I need a map of the system and all that stuff. Within minutes or so, they had it to us, so we're proud of these guys. So anyway, the other thing is, and Terry, I may have to turn to you, the 5310 program is where we have a call for projects right now, and we're getting ready to review those. And so if anybody knows somebody might need a van for the elderly and handicapped in the tri-state area, because we cover Kentucky and Ohio and West Virginia under the 5610 program. We need to hear from you. So, what's that call for?
The intent has already passed that we haven't received a large demand for that. The actual projects are due, the application due the end of October. So if you're interested, you need to really get with us and we'll get the application to you and we'll get you off up to speed to it.
What groups will be eligible for that?
Elder, anybody dealing with elderly and handicapped pretty much. So the senior centers, any of the transit systems, there's a lot of others. There's actually about 40 agencies that are listed in the coordination plan.
Okay.
So we can take a look at that afterwards and see what's that.
Cities and counties.
Yep. Cities and counties, if you have a senior center or something like that, it's eligible.
Okay. Good. I'll take it.
And before I get something, let go. I talked about everybody else. I bragged on Calva and I bragged on Marshall. I need to brag on PTA staff. And Jennifer led this project for the thing, so I don't want to leave that person out. I get in trouble when I get ready to leave.
It's been a long month for you, buddy.
Anyway,
any questions?
Question about all my standards. Any studies going to look about Sunday?
The Sunday service is tough when we're getting ready to do a transit study. You're going to hear about that here shortly.
I really believe that in our area, particularly for job traffic, I agree.
We've made phenomenal progress over the last 10 years. We've added one night service up from midnight at night. But you're right. If we could find a way to provide Sunday service, I think it would be awesome.
They would.
They would. They would. A lot of other folks would too. They go to church and things.
Any questions for Paul?
Kentucky, Ohio, you got anything?
Okay. Well, keep saying this, Paul.
Oh, okay.
You're going to report on the testing advisory committee. You all met, what, this week?
We met Tuesday. We had a nice meeting, as we usually do. Discussed all of these projects that have been presented today. But we reviewed four items that need review or passage from the policy committee. And we recommend those from the PAC committee to the policy board. And the first one, and I don't know if you want to do these individually or
how. I think we should.
Okay. Well, the first one was the West Virginia Association of Metropolitan Planning Organization support. Selene, you might want to show which document that is.
The
yellow.
The
yellow.
Yes. So.
The motion comes from the committee.
Yeah. So the motion came from the committee, so I guess we need a second.
Second? I think I heard second.
Marion.
Okay. Any further discussion on the resolution support? Not all favors say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is approved.
And the second item, we had a presentation to amend the Transportation Management Area Coordination Public Plan, as I was just talking about a minute ago. We need to add a couple of people to that coordination plan, a couple of organizations. And we discussed that fully at the TAC committee, and we recommend that resolution to be adopted by the policy board.
Been second, isn't it? This is this resolution. This one, Paul, too?
Yes.
Green? Okay. Probably moving second. Any further discussion? Y'all all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It's adopted.
Third item was a presentation. We had a presentation of the FY 2016 completion report, performance report of Cuyahoga, and we reviewed the document, and you have it in your packet for your review, but the TAC committee does recommend that to the policy board for your adoption.
This
here,
Bob.
The book.
The book. If you read this during lunch, can you report on it? You've been moved. Is a second to adopt this?
Second.
Any further discussion? Not all in favor of the motion to approve this, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay.
Approved. Thank you. And lastly, the fourth item we bring before you is we had a presentation of amendment number 5 to the TIP, or the Transportation Improvement Plan. And the resolution, I guess, that's 2017-4. And those projects are listed here and in your, at your seat. And if anybody has questions about this, I would recommend or refer that to the staff. But the policy board has reviewed this process, and we do recommend for adoption of the policy.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? On the motion to adopt resolution 2017-004, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. It is approved.
And Selim wanted just to make sure that I pointed out that there were a couple other handouts in your thing, and wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to take a quick look at. There's a lot that goes on at Cuyahoga, and a lot of things that are kind of going on at one time, but there are quick notes. You know, take a quick look at that, and I think Terry and Bethany and Selim kind of all put that together. You may help put this thing together and kind of sums it all up for you in a real nice package. We talked about the Boyd County project, real nice all-in-one kind of thing what's going on in Boyd and Greenup County. And finally, last but not least, we wanted to point out the annual listing of federally obligated projects. So those are three items that are in the back of your packet that we think deserve a little more attention.
Any questions for Paul? Paul, thank you and your committee for a good report. He's indicated this staff doesn't sit around here thinking about what to do, just thinking about how am I going to get all this done. And we're so appreciative of the staff at Cuyahoga and all that they do, and to make these reports sound really good. But it's the hard work of the staff that gets all this done. We thank you all so much.
Can I put Chris on the spot just for 1 second?
I would love to see you do that.
Certainly, we are very thankful for Michelle and all the things she's done, especially in my career at PCA and the entire group of PCA. Appreciate you. But Chris said yesterday, and somebody asked him, said he was going to have the Ohio bypass done in 2 years.
Yeah. Well, another couple of people.
Chris?
Probably.
I'm waiting on the lottery ticket to come through, and then it's done.
No pressure, but you know.
No pressure at
all. Any other old business to come before us today? Well, under new business or anything?
I just want to say something. Since Paul put me on the spot, I'm going to pass the buck and put Michelle on the spot. And just give her just an opportunity to say a word or two. I don't think she wanted to, but I.
I think most of you have heard enough from me now, but it has been such a pleasure to be part of Cuyahoga. It's a special love of mine. I grew up in the trucking industry, and transportation was super important at my house, and you see a little evidence of that around the room, but we were always interested in new highways from day one, and I spent time in Washington and in Charleston working on those things before I came back here. So it's wonderful to have the opportunity to land in a place where I could keep doing that. But I told everybody yesterday that the very hardest part about leaving is all the wonderful relationships and the friendships and knowing that I'll miss all that contact with all of you. And it has just been a pleasure to have the opportunity to share your good work. And then just could not be more thrilled to have Chris come in and be able to carry on all of your good work. He has just done an amazing job starting so quickly and getting right into the throes of everything. So I have had a wonderful career here, and I thank you for the pleasure to work with each and every one of you. I get to see you again often and somehow soon.
Oh, you do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, our appreciation, we appreciate that for all of us and the work that you've done, and we look forward to you having a good retirement, and we're going to the grandbabies, and Tom's going to get another job. He's not going to stay home, I don't think, much. But thank you so much for what you mean to the organization. And last, we have a new member here today, Ron Fields, Mayor of Flatwoods, Kentucky. We generally get 15 to 20 minutes for new members to give a speech. Do you have anything you want to say to us today?
A couple of jokes on that.
Okay. Well, we're glad you're here today. Anyone else that's new with us today Okay, I didn't take time to introduce everybody, but we had a lot of things going on. So, anything else coming for this body? Yes, ma'am.
For those who don't know me, I'm Sean Gray, with Federal Highway Administration. This April, we did a CMA review certification, and my requirement is to make sure that I update the policy borders of the various entities that were involved in the city of Cuyahoga and River Creek. I'll briefly tell you that Cuyahoga and River Creek both passed the review wonderfully. We even had a gentleman here from the headquarters who was incredibly impressed. We had a number of accommodations that came out, some for Rick, and a couple for Cuyahoga. One in particular was their relationship with their transit group, which is something that's very important nationally for federal highways and personal transit. So it was nice to be able to, you know, hold up our area as a shining example of the work and relationship that creates, you know, path forward for transit. So I'm really glad to hear you the new things that you have to do. If anybody has any questions, Cuyahoga staff have copies of the certification. I'm sure you're all dying to read but it went very well. We have one thing we have to work on to get done before next year, which is just an agreement amongst all the different groups and organizations to make sure everybody's on the same page as to how we're going to handle everything. But that's a small thing compared to everything else. So it went very, very well, and I'm glad I don't have to do it again for another 4 years. But if you have any questions or anything like that, I have a business card and you can feel free to contact.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and welcome, and come back. You don't have to wait 4 years to come back. You can go back. You're welcome anytime. Thank you. Anything else? Yeah, I will say this again. Be safe going home, and thank you for coming.
You know, you get the sun off. And I...